Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green.
Hey everybody, that was Dar Williams singing with the fantastic Pete Seeger, the legendary Pete Seeger, and David Burns, who wrote the words to that song, except for Solartopia, which I wrote. We are back again with our 26th grassroots emergency election protection call. We have a full hour of incredible, brilliant activists who are now focused, of course, on the two Senate seats in Georgia. We've got Reverend Durley from the Atlanta NAACP, along with Ray McClendon and people that are really making a difference. This gets to the nitty-gritty of how our elections are conducted and protected. Take a listen, join in. You will learn a tremendous amount about the most important election that we have faced in many, many years. Thanks for joining us, and take a listen, and we will be back again next week. At Solartopia. Thanks.
Hi, everybody. This is Harvey Sluggo Wasserman back for the 26th Zoom call of the Grassroots Election Protection Emergency Coalition. We are going to be focused for the whole top of the hour as far as it goes on Georgia and what's happening in Georgia and what we need to have happen in Georgia, which is a fair and clean election. I want to turn it over to my co-convener, Joel Siegel. We are fortunate to have Joel as our co-convener. He had more than a decade as the chief aide to John Conyers in the Congress. He is a primary pusher and creator of the Affordable Care Act. He has been a totally powerful and important figure in grassroots politics as well as congressional politics for a long, long time. He's in North Carolina. We did a lot of work in North Carolina, and I will say, and we can come back to this later, had it not been for the sexting capabilities of the guy who ran for Senate in for the Democrats in North Carolina, we would not be in the fix we're in now. but there couldn't be a better guy to help convene these calls and to help lead our attempts to protect the election in Georgia. We are nonpartisan. We are about a protected election, about paper ballots and digital scanning machines and all the great and registration rolls and all the great things that make for a democratic small d election. And Joel Siegel has been right at the cutting edge of that for a good 20 years. I will point out that in 2004, after the election there, the bitterly contested election, it was Joel Siegel who got John Conyers to convene the Congress's first hearings on the protection of our elections. And here we are 16 years later, we have had a remarkable national election, and a lot of it has to do with Joel Siegel. So Joel, I would like you to introduce our truly honored and powerful guests as we jump in to the swamp here of election protection in Georgia.
Thank you for that beautiful introduction. You're the James Brown, the godfather of election protection. So thank you, Harvey. Reverend Woodbury, what time do you have to leave us? Because I want to respect Gerald's time and your time. Oh, you're on mute there, Leo. Leo, can you hear me? Unmute Reverend Woodbury.
Go ahead and introduce him and Mr. Durley and
Yeah, I have some flexibility, Joe.
Okay, because I don't want to lose you, because last time you had to go because you're trying to feed an entire state of South Carolina with turkeys and food that because of COVID-19. But first of all, it's an honor to be with everyone. I want to thank everyone for the last 6 months. We have 92 people on this call. All of you are leaders in your own right for election protection, different constituencies on social justice. I want to thank Mike Hirsch, who's the communications director for Progressive Democrats of America. We are not Parson, but Mike, I want to thank you for your great work, but especially all of you who've been doing this for so many years. you know, today we're focusing on Georgia, election protection in Georgia. And I do want to make one announcement before I introduce our special guest. Here's the announcement. The announcement is I've been working in the Democratic Party for 40 years. When I was with Congressman Conyers, Conyers would be asked to go to people running for Congress, or the House or the Senate, and the white blue dog Democrats would invite Mr. Conyers to get the black vote, because Conyers used to tell me that most elections are won by 1 or 2% of the vote. And then they would call Conyers. Conyers would, you know, get the person who was running to win, and then that candidate wouldn't visit the black community ever again. Does that sound familiar? Durley, Woodbury, I think you've seen that, correct?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
What I'm announcing today has never been done before. It's historical. You're gonna see a foundation that's gonna be created at the highest levels of what I call the left percent, the 1% left and regular folk. This foundation is going to be able to fund, it's not partisan, get out GOTV efforts in the black community and the Hispanic community. So instead of Leo Woodbury and Gerald Durley having to figure out a way to get money to get people to the polls, and every candidate that Reverend Woodbury got behind, they won. And that includes the mayor, the new mayor of Florence, South Carolina, who's the first black mayor ever in Florence, South Carolina. And I don't think any of y'all know about Florence, but I live near Florence. I'll put you this way, it ain't the most progressive city in the country. And to get someone there, it was because Reverend Woodbury got people to the polls. And thank you, Harvey, for the donation that you got to Leo, because it helped a lot. This foundation is gonna be very important. There'll be more, you will hear about it. This is a part of our election protection effort. We cannot wait on either party to fund GOTV efforts, because they do TV commercials. Those days are now officially over. That means the grassroots, we're gonna have to do the GOTV ourselves. So I just wanna tell you, this is an historical moment. I'm glad I got to announce it. This was not my idea. This idea came from my conversations with Reverend Woodbury and Reverend Durley. I'm only acting as a messenger, but this is not my idea. Let me introduce first Reverend Durley. Reverend Durley is the former senior lieutenant for Martin Luther King. He worked side by side with Dr. King, with Reverend Abernathy, with Andrew Young, Hosea Williams. He is part of the civil rights history of our nation. He is one of the leading environmental justice and climate action leaders, not only in America, but in the world. I met him at the invitation of Al Gore at his Climate Reality Project. Gerald was the keynote speaker at Al Gore's Climate Reality Project. He is, in my opinion and others, one of the most influential leaders in our nation, and especially among African American ministers. We are so honored to have you. What we want to talk about, Reverend Durley, is can you give us an assessment of what's happening in Georgia regarding the Senate races? What is needed, in your opinion, if we're going to get the vote out? What are some of the gaps? What do you think we need to do? How can we help? And Gerald, the floor is yours. Welcome, and you can speak either in the 6 languages that you know, or you can speak in English, up to you.
Bonjour, monsieur, madame. Ce soir, je parle avec les personnes qui parlent français avec moi. C'est quelquefois, c'est très difficile de trouver les personnes qui parlent avec moi dans les États-Unis. In other words, how y'all doing this evening?
Très bien.
First of all, let me thank Harvey and Joe for the opportunity to be on with so many of you across the country. Who ever would have thought that we would, from Georgia, would be talking about playing a pivotal role in resurrecting democracy in this nation? I never thought that when I got involved with this particular effort in 1960 is when I started, in Nashville, Tennessee. And now 60 years later, we're at a very pivotal point in our changing of a nation that's ready now to finally become a nation for all of its people, black and white and gay and straight and all of those who are concerned about brothers and sisters. And I'm certainly honored to be on the call tonight with my good friend, Reverend Leo Woodbury. I'm thankful that also joining me on the call is Ray McGlendon, who is one of the key organizers here in Atlanta with the NAACP. And as you know, I started not only with Dr. King, but was there with Barack Obama in 2007 and 2008. And we never thought that when we came to Georgia, and I've been living here now for some time, pastor of the church for 26 years, and then I was dean at two universities here. So it's all coming together in a very positive way. But we knew after what happened with Stacey Abrams when she ran for governor, that the suppressive actions were just totally out of sync with what Georgia was about. So we began to work. What you see now is the end product of 10 long years of very difficult work. And as all of you know on this call, the three things that kept us going in the civil rights movement was organize, strategize, and mobilize. And two of the things that were strong upon organizing, mobilizing, and strategizing was that we had to understand that what were we willing to sacrifice and what we're willing to risk. And like most of you who've been in organizations a long time, you've got to be willing to sacrifice. So this started a long time ago, looking at the 159 counties. What were the demographics? What was the role that many of the African-American played? And as the Latino community came in, and then also some of the whites that would be always there working along on various issues. I spent a lot of time with the environmental community because they were much more progressive in some of the things that they were doing. So right now, a lot of people are very shocked and surprised, and we're not, because it came with a lot of work of looking at the demographics, looking at the numbers, and then working with people. So when it came down to just the senatorial races, they had 20 people in the races. Many of you were following. We had Perdue as a senator, and also Johnny Isaacson was a senator. He stepped down because of illness, and the governor put in a lady named Kelly Loeffler to be in that spot. So when it came to this senatorial race now, Perdue's seat was, he was up for running for a re-election, and also the lady who the governor had put in named Kelly Loeffler. Now in that race, he put her in there, but she had to run for the seat. Now we've got two candidates that are there running against these two persons. But it was in one of the sides, it was on the side with Kelly Loeffler, there were 20 people in this entire category. And only if you won in Georgia, you can win with 50% plus one vote. They put that in there some time ago. So she did not get that. And a man named Raphael Warnock, who's the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church, got in there, and he actually won with 33 or 32 or 3%. And then there was Loeffler, who was appointed by the governor. And then there was a guy, Collins, who was a big defender for Donald Trump during the impeachment hearings. But the two top vote getters were Warnock and Loeffler. So they are now in a runoff that will take place in January. On the other side, there's John Isoff, who's been running, and he's running against Perdue. So those two Senate seats are up that will be going for January the 5th. So when the voting started taking place, we concentrated on ballot voting, early voting, and then certainly we did not concentrate on so much this time on people standing in personal voting lines, but we knew that that was critical. So we began to work not only with the churches, but also the 501c3 organizations. Of course, they were nonpartisan, but we were getting them out. And we connected the dots by saying, this is, some people were saying, for the soul of America. And of course, we like that term, the soul of America, because the soul of America is the very essence of what it is for all people to rise up. And so we work at that level. Now we're down, the voting has taken place, and we're counting by hand now. We've worked along with the governor, Secretary of State Ratzenberger, and he's been very, very open, because we challenged the number of voting sites, we challenged the machines, we challenged the dates that they would be open, and all of that, and the equipment that would be used. And he was very affable with all of us. So now it's down to where they're counting the votes, and many of the counties are already in. Now we realize that the key is to get out to vote on January the 5th. This has not been a very stronghold in the African American community. And this is why the NAACP now, one of the strategies that we had to use in looking at the numbers, there's a man in the state named Richard Rose, who's the president of the Atlanta branch of NAACP, and Ray McLendon, who's on the phone with us today, been really organizing. We found that in there are 159 counties here in the state of Georgia. In 19 of those counties, 77% of the voting population are African Americans. So we got 18 different NAACP branches that will be working in those 19 counties to get the vote out. But everybody is converging on Atlanta or on Georgia. A lot of dollars are coming in and they're going to a television ad. Television ads do not get people out. People are tired of television ads. They're tired of the angst, they're tired of the anger, they're tired of the slandering, the mudslinging. But what gets people out is the old fashioned, we're in a pandemic, but the door knocking, somebody saying, come to my home, let me pick you up. So in order to do that, we realized that we had to now get Mrs. Jackson, or grandmother so-and-so, the barber, or the mechanic to work in their communities and give them $100 or $200 to do that. The overall Democratic Party, they thought just coming in, putting a lot of money in television ads would do it. That did not do it. It's got to be a people to people. It's got to be the old kissing of the babies and shaking of hands, even in a pandemic, without doing that actual act, but getting people in those areas to bring out. So we have concentrated on that for the next 3 to 4 months, getting at those people. We've talked to people all over the country who said, what can they do in Georgia? And that's the emphasis. And Ray, I'd like you to step in, Ray McLendon, and maybe you can give some more highlights to what I'm saying. These are a very distinguished group of people, all over, distinguished and very progressive in terms of resurrecting democracy once again in this country. Ray, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, and thank you so much. And it's a pleasure and an honor to get an opportunity to speak with all of you this evening. And I just want to just highlight what Reverend Durley's talking about here. We've put together a coalition under the leadership of Richard Rose, the president of the Atlanta branch, to form a coalition of 19 branch presidents of NAACP branches in those counties, 19 counties, that as Gerald mentioned, represents 77% of the black vote. Obviously that's Metro Atlanta, but that's also Chatham County, which is Savannah, Lowndes County, Valdosta in the south, as well as Muskogee County, which is Columbus, Bibb County, Richmond County, which Bibb County is Macon, Richmond County, which is Augusta. So we've got all of the major centers across the state. And not only did we bring the NAACP branches, but in the black community here, it's really focused on the influencers. And the influencers are in a variety of leadership groups. What are those groups? They are the National Panhellenic Council, otherwise known as the Divine Nine, which represents all of the black fraternities and sororities. It represents all of the HBCUs, the historically black colleges and universities in the state, which there are multiple all around these different areas that were just described. It's the Prince Hall Grand Lodge of Georgia, which is the Masons, one of the oldest black groups in the state that has been organized and been a force for political action for over a century, along with, of course, the churches are always involved and the leadership from our clergy. 100 Black Men of America, which has a number of different groups around the state, as well as 100 Black Women. We are also in collaboration with the New Georgia Project, which is Stacey Abrams' predecessor group, which also Reverend Warnock was the chair of for several years. and the People's Agenda, which is also another grassroots organization. So what we've done is brought all of those organizations together and created this 19 county effort. And we put that together some 3 months ago, and we were engaged and on the ground in all of these counties during the general election season. And we call it a season for a reason, because we had a concerted Plan Your Vote campaign where we had all of these groups trained and put forth in their communities to get people to recognize that they needed to have a plan in the middle of a pandemic with voter suppression, which is not new to us in Georgia. We're used to voter suppression. We just had never had it at such an unprecedented level that was emanating out of the White House. But we were used to that. And so we put these groups together, and we were able to put together some 20 different events in these counties, including Souls to the Polls on Sundays, Parties to the Polls on Saturdays, election protection monitors during early voting, culminating on election day. We passed out over 8,000 bottles of water and snacks across the state to different people, and gave people a sense of calm and a sense of relief and peace when there were a lot of threats about voter intimidation that was coming forward. Now, as you all know, the voter suppression has been stark, and one of the things that we did was engage with voters throughout the entire process. We had virtual phone banking where we curated lists to target those communities, in addition to the canvassing that Reverend Durley alluded to. We are very pleased that it was very successful. We had several hundred volunteers that came out to be poll workers. We've had thousands that did phone banking, and we had many more that contributed and provided background to the effort in terms of communications, marketing, branding, and bringing other capacity resources to the table. So we have the infrastructure in place from our general election effort. And now with the critical nature of these Senate seats, and also we do have a statewide public service commission race too, which has now been moved to January 5th. And that will play a pivotal role in the state as well. But the Senate races are the crown jewels. We have the teams that are energized and ready to go. And what we have simply been saying is that the job, we had a great phase in the general election, but the job is not finished. And we have the people ready to move. We have the infrastructure. The ground game is ready. We need the resources in order to be able to implement this at the same level that we were able to in the general election. Early voting starts. Right now we're in registration phase and getting people voter registration, and also informing the voters that they need to be requesting their absentee ballots right now. We go into early voting on December the 14th, which runs through Friday, January the 1st. So we'll have a concerted wave of campaigns that are associated with early voting and voter registration in those different counties. We already had voter registration drives this past weekend in Walmart shopping center parking lots across those counties this past weekend. That was very successful. We will continue to do that through the 7th. We will start our phone banking in earnest by the end of this week. The reason we're starting a little bit late is because we want to curate the lists from who voted, who didn't vote, high propensity, moderate propensity voters, and we will be able to send out curated lists all across the country so that we can get folks to the volunteer to provide phone banking. We'll also be doing canvassing as well. The canvassing that we're looking to do will be with the pandemic in mind. But in our communities, we know we got to be visible. We got to get out and meet with the people. But the great thing is, with our coalition, we have people who will be recognized in these local communities, and will be able to influence people to get out the vote. As you know, in a runoff, it's all about turning out your people. This is not about ads. This is not about TV or radio. This is about making sure that your folks get back to the polls. Most of the studies show that in Georgia, the reason that that one party, primarily Republicans, win most of the runoffs is because the turnout will drop by 60, 70, even 90% in some races. So it's all a matter of, did you get your folks back to the polls? That's what we intend to do, especially with the Black community. One final thing, the reason we feel confident that if we just get our people out, we can win, is that Donald Trump won the vote in 2016 by 211,000 votes. In 2018, Stacey Abrams lost to Kemp, even after major voter purges, by only 55,000 votes. Then, of course, we know that right now, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are ahead by 14,000 votes. So that shows you the trend. So we know this can be done, but it's going to take a Herculean effort to get our folks back out to the polls. And the Black vote is a critical part of the turnout strategy.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray. Now, I know there are a lot of questions and given the time strength. So, Joe, you want to kind of coordinate the questions? I've seen a few come across that people are versus them. We can tell you how you can really help.
First of all, Brother Ray, that was an outstanding elucidation of what's happening in Georgia. So I have... I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to ask Harvey to ask a question, and then we'll open it up. We don't have a lot of time because we have other very important guests.
Do you want Reverend Woodbury to say a word or two before we proceed with questions?
Yeah, sure. Reverend Woodbury. Let me introduce Reverend Woodbury. Reverend Woodbury is one of the leading African-American ministers in our nation, whether it's civil rights, social justice, climate action. Works very closely with, interestingly enough, Al Gore. I met him at the White House with a meeting with the Obama administration on climate change. He single-handedly chased the Klan out of South Carolina, which I think is kind of a phenomenal achievement.
Tell the truth now. Come on, single-handed the Klan?
I single-handed, and they just went undercover. They're still here.
Well, I mean, most people can't say, they tried to kill me. I didn't chase them out of North Carolina. So what you did is amazing. Vice chair of the Justice Action Mobilization Network, Reverend Durley is an honorary chair. And what just happened is Leo got behind a slate. Was it five African-American candidates, Leo, or more?
It was 16 total in the county.
I think I, boy, I think I messed up. And all the people that his organization got behind won, which is an amazing thing. And he's really a mentor to so many of us who work in election protection. Can you tell us what was the secret to the victories? Can you tell us about the All Souls to the Polls, the importance of the Black church and getting into the grassroots in order to maximize voter participation, which was out the roof? So the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you, Joel and Harvey, for this opportunity. And thank you to everyone who took time out of their busy schedules to join this call. So a little background on Florence, South Carolina. It's the fourth largest metropolitan area in the state of South Carolina. And it's the regional seat for about eight counties, meaning this is where people come to work, where they come to shop, for entertainment, all of those things. The population of African Americans is 45% within the city and even lower than that countywide. So when our candidates, after the primary, when you looked at everyone who was running in Florence County, we had one white person, and that was Joe Biden. Everyone else was African American, from the person running for the sheriff down to the school board, and then on the Republican side of the ticket, everyone was white with the exception of one gentleman, and there were no female candidates whatsoever. And so we worked really hard at getting out the vote. Never worked on a campaign before, never did any work on getting out the vote. And so it was all new, and we did what we knew how to do, which is grassroots organizing. So we partnered with organizations in the state and a few out of state. And one of the first things we did was we put up four electronic billboards that had four screens on them, and then another one in another city, Lake City in the county, and another one in the neighboring county of Darlington. And so we placed these strategically in communities that were predominantly people of color in high traffic areas. So we did that, and then we also were doing what we call car caravans. So every weekend we would have cars that would literally ride all over the city, handing out flyers and stopping to talk with people along the way. And we would do that for 2.5 to 3 hours every Saturday, just riding one Saturday through the northern part of the city, the southern part, the eastern, the western. And we did this from March all the way up to the general election every week. And we're able to connect with a lot of people, putting flyers on our car windshields, putting door hangers on doors, and especially targeting communities where people usually don't go, the housing projects and those places, and doing voter registration and signing up folks, getting applications for absentee ballots, going out in the community to the parks where people were playing basketball and those sorts of things. So really a grassroots effort. We also had folks who were doing phone banking. We did over 130,000 phone banking calls and 238,000 text messaging to cell phones. And so those were ongoing things that we were working on. We also were doing things on social media, posting things on a regular basis. We put together a video asking people to come out to vote with about 15 people, a 1-minute video, which we later on put on our local BET station, targeting shows that are frequently watched, like Assisted Living, Meet the Browns, Sisters. And then we also were fortunate enough in the general election to get some time for the Hip Hop Caucus. And we were doing a lot of focusing on young people. And so that was incredible. We also had car magnets. We did our first Sold to the Poll on October 5th. When the first day for open voting, we had about 30 cars, and we had magnets that.
Oh, we lost you. Reverend Woodbury, you went mute. Did everybody hear me?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's an amazing rundown. let's proceed, Joel.
Yeah, I just want to ask Reverend Durley and Brother Ray.
Basis.
Oh, there you go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. We got you back. Thank you, Rev.
Okay. We did that on,
I'm gonna have to leave in about 5 minutes.
Okay. Reverend Woodbury, that's fantastic. We'll come back to you as well. Gerald Durley, do you have anything further for us?
Well, I think that one of the things that, and Ray can do it, I'm opening up an interfaith prayer here in Atlanta at 6 o'clock. And so that's why, and I didn't know about this until yesterday when Joel called me. Otherwise,
we'll have you back on next week as well.
Yeah, and but Ray can, we worked on this a lot, and Ray can kind of the follow-up as to what people can do. So many people are calling from all over the country now asking, what can we do in Georgia? You've heard all that we've done thus far, but there are certain kinds of efforts that he can go into much more detail as to what we can do now in Georgia. So thank you so much tonight. I wish I had known, but
you'll come back with us next week, because this is a huge network, and this network reaches a lot of people. So if you'll come back and join us next week, we will have a lot of people ready for guidance on what we can do to have a fair election in Georgia.
Okay.
As a historian, I will assure you, and I don't have to tell you this, that there has never in the history of the United States been a fair election in Georgia.
No.
And if we can actually have one in January, what a revolution that would be. No matter who wins, if you actually have a fair revolution in Georgia, it will change all of American history. So if you
we're going to be battling that, and we're going to try to meet with Raffensperger, who's the Secretary of State, to let him know, because he made a strong stance. And I'm like this, if you're going to stand for us at these tough times, we'll stand there. So we're going to stand behind him probably next week at the state capitol and say, man, stay the course. Don't back up, don't bend, don't break, and don't bow. Probably Monday or Tuesday of next week.
Hey, Harvey, if you will come back next week and continue with us through January, this network will grow, and we will have an informed and incredibly powerful movement to have something we've never had before in this country, which is a fair election in Georgia.
Harvey, Gerald, first of all, you still look like you look younger than me, but this is a yes or no question. Does the Atlanta NAACP, which needs the money to get the vote out, the black vote in 17 counties, have the money to do so?
No.
Okay. Does that mean then all the people who are on this call and all the people that we know, if we get our money to the Atlanta NAACP, will that help them get out the GOP?
It'll help a tremendous, and that the sheet that I sent you, the letter that I sent you, has all of the information.
I sent that
all of that
to
Richard Rose, and you can put that out to all the people on the call, because this is what we're doing. We're just piecemealing and putting it together, but we're going to put it in the hands of the people to everything that Ray talked about earlier. So that's when I sent you the overall description earlier. I think you have that, don't you?
It's been distributed, by the way, to Mike Hirsch is distributing that to everybody. It's going to go on the chat.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so we'll see you next week, Gerald. Thank you very much.
Ray, anything you want to add just closing, Ray?
No, I just want to say thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak to everybody. And just to let you know that we have a ground game that's proven. It was so heartwarming to hear Reverend Woodbury, because everything that he just talked about that is proven for the way that you get out the black vote in South Carolina, we are doing with these 19, we have done for the general election with these 19 counties, and we need the money to do the same thing in those 19 counties for the runoff.
And that's what it's about. You're gonna see, Harvey, that I started to say something that I don't believe in. I started to say the South will rise again, but I don't want to say that. I don't want it to rise. A new perspective will rise again, not the South.
The progressive South will rise again. The progressive South.
And
there you go.
Woodbury from South Carolina has showed us what kind of an impact. He won every race that he was involved in down there, or the people he supported.
Yeah.
Again, we're nonpartisan, but to have a fair election in Georgia would be staggering.
Well, let me just say to you, when you saw those votes coming in on Wednesday night and Thursday night of election week, and where they were coming from, that tells you how important it was when the vote turned. Those were coming in from Chatham County. They were coming in from Clayton County.
Clayton County.
John Lewis's district. Those were all directly attributable to getting out the black vote.
And if you guys can put in the chat exactly how to get, or Joel, how to donate straight to the NAACP in Georgia, that would be great.
Joe, you have that already, don't you, Joe?
Yeah, it's been sent to Mike Hirsch and distributed, so we'll be able to get that done.
And you have, my email was also in that. And if anybody wants to contact,
sure. Hold on, Art. Go ahead.
Okay, so my one question for all the Georgia activists, there's a concern by Common Cause Georgia, the Coalition for Good Governance, which includes Jean DeFort and the Brennan Center, that the Secretary of State is not doing anything to actively promote having emergency paper ballots in case these ballot marking device machines get slow or slow down, or having voter registration paper backups if the no-wink poll pads fail, which had been a problem in earlier elections in Georgia. To what degree are you guys concerned about this and doing any activism on it? Or think there should be any activism, just in terms of these paper backup issues?
That's not really from our experience. We've been working directly with the county registrars. As you know, the county registrars oversee the elections. And we have direct relationships with each and every one of the registrars in all of these counties.
Good.
That hasn't really been the problem. The problem right now is voter intimidation and voter suppression. Intimidation at the polling sites and suppression with respect to the concern about the Postal Service and whether or not you can be comfortable with your absentee ballots in the middle of a pandemic.
Okay.
So we got to have a specific strategy. I would say those are much more concerning than any mechanical issue with respect to the actual machines.
No, I'm not asking about the machines, which aren't going to change, but there is both a court order and state law requiring these kind of emergency backups. And it appears the Secretary of State and many counties are not very active providing the paper backup. That's all I was asking about. Is that being communicated to the county registrars that you guys deal with, or that's not really an issue from your point of view?
We have, from our perspective, that really hasn't been an issue.
Okay.
Well, let me ask a simple question. How is the vote being, it's the $64 million question. How is the vote being conducted for this special election? Is everybody in Georgia getting a paper ballot in the mail?
No, that's not the way it works in Georgia.
Okay,
the absentee ballot law in Georgia is you must request an absentee ballot. That is available now to request. The problem is, however, that first of all, you gotta request the application to apply for the ballot. Then you get the ballot in the mail. So the challenge now is you got such a tight window with USPS being a challenge that's where we really got to focus. So we got to educate the public on, you should be requesting your ballot now, today. Whenever we talk to you, you need to be doing it now, because they start getting mailed out on November the 18th. Okay, when you get it in the mail, you should fill it out right away. And don't use the mail, you should go to use a Dropbox.
Well, is everybody, are all registered voters in Georgia receiving an application for a
ballot? No, you have to request it. You have to go on it's a site, and we anybody that needs it, we can send a link out. It's ballot request.
Well, you can put it in the chat.
.com.
We'll send that out.
But the point is, you request the ballot application. You fill out the application and then send that in, and then they will issue you an absentee ballot.
And what about you can request online.
You can request your absentee ballot online.
And the elderly and disabled can request to permanently receive an absentee ballot as part of the process.
Correct.
What about people who don't have internet?
You can request it on a mobile device.
Is there a pretty good distribution of ballot boxes around the state?
No. It, again, because counties run elections, it is widely differentiates between different counties. As an example, in Fulton County, there were over 40 across the county. In Daugherty County, which is Albany, Georgia, which is a large county in the South, there was only one location for a drop box.
What about early voting? What's
early voting starts on December the 14th.
So you got almost a full month of early voting.
Yeah, you got early voting.
Now, if
early voting for a month, right? Almost. Not quite a month. Not quite a month. It's over on January 1st. So it's a little over two plus weeks.
So early voting starts more than 2 weeks before the election, but then it ends the last weekend?
It ends on the Friday before the election day.
Yeah. So that you can't early vote the weekend before the election?
No.
Wow. That's unfortunate.
Think about that, right?
So that's why virtual phone banking, voter education, and getting this information out on door knockers and other things is so important. You know, we were in a Plan Your Vote campaign to really inform the electorate of what their options are, because people are nervous. People are concerned about the post office, the pandemic, and our issue is to get the word out on how you can safely and securely exercise your right to vote.
Wow. Reverend Woodbury, did you have experience with this in South Carolina? Was there early voting?
Yeah, I was going to ask if people are allowed to pick up absentee. Because in South Carolina, we literally went and got the applications, went out to people's homes, had them fill them out. And as long as you're not a paid campaign staffer, we could drop the applications off at the election commission. And then we would have them call us, or we would call them to see if they got their ballot. And then once again, once they filled them out and put them into sealed the first envelope, put in the second envelope. If you were not a paid campaign staff person, we literally took them to the election commission and dropped them off as much as we possibly could so that we wouldn't have to depend on U.S. Postal Service. And that way we could track many of the absentee ballots that we knew were delivered.
Wow. Without getting into the weeds, it's similar in Georgia. There are a couple of quirks. You have to be careful, a little bit more careful than that in Georgia, because only certain caretakers and relatives can actually deliver ballots.
Right. Yeah, we had that, but we got it waived because of the pandemic.
Right. Right. Yeah. But we can do workarounds on that. So the thrust of what you're saying can work in Georgia. But that's the importance of what we're getting right back to, though, is that's the importance of having hands-on people, grassroots on the ground, who people trust and know to make sure that this gets done.
Well,
absentee requests can also be emailed to your county registrar. And it can be hand delivered to your county registrar. So making the request for your absentee ballot, you can deliver it easily.
And we have a request from Gina Ironside in the chat. She says she's available to work full time on the ground with this effort in Georgia. Ray, can you tell her exactly where to go and who to contact?
Yeah, so Joel has the information and it tells you how to donate and the different ways you can donate, how to volunteer, and the link to phone bank. Yeah, so if you have his email, then all of those links are in that email. If you need me to send it out to anybody else, I'd be happy to send that, because we need all the help we can get, and we need it now.
Hey, Ray.
Okay, so, Harvey. Yes.
Hey,
Joe.
Harvey. One second, Harvey.
Joe.
I just want to make sure. So I sent the donate button to Stephen Caruso and to Mike Hirsch. I don't know if technologically they can do it right now. If they can't, why don't we send it out, you know, right after the call, because it's, I just sprung it on them. But what I hear them saying is they need money. I think it's really important for people to reach in their pocket or talk to other donors. And I know by mail and all the work that people have been doing on EP is so important, but right now the Black community is asking for resources. And I hope that we can move the discussion in direction of where we're gonna get those resources. And I'm gonna have to be completely honest here. One of the reasons why a lot of, I'm saying this with all the love that I can muster, one of the reasons why a lot of activists in the Black community do not work closely with a lot of white activists is a lot of times white activists are a little bit tone deaf. I'm not saying that what we're talking about here is not incredibly important, but this really is the time, I think, to really listen to what they have said they need, and we need to respond to that and do it with intentional.
So, Joel, people are asking in the chat, you need to put in an address. If anybody wants to donate and they don't see it here, email me and I will figure it out. But the point of this call is not specifically to raise funds. I'm glad that this came up. Ray, stay with us, please. Leo, is there anything else you want to add before we get? I do want to get into the weeds in Georgia here. We need to know exactly what's happening with voter registration. Then we need to know how the election is being conducted. We want to know how the votes are being counted. We have tremendous expertise on this call of these three pieces of the trifecta. And also, is it true that the counties themselves are really the core here and not the state secretary of state's office? Ray, maybe you, an example of how successful Leo Woodbury was in South Carolina is really inspiring. This is the grassroots nitty gritty.
Exactly.
Yes. So, Ray, what is happening? We know what happened to Stacey Abrams in 2018. What is happening now with the voter register? And, Joel, please put those addresses up where people can donate. They're looking for it.
Hey, Harvey.
Yes.
I'm a good lawyer, but I'm not good at technology. So I've sent Mike, Steven, and you those addresses. But if they can do that, it'd be great.
Okay, great. If you can't get it, write to me, folks, and I'll deal with it. Now, Ray, can you tell us, and everybody here on this call has been immersed in the weeds of voter registration one way or the other. How is voter registration being handled? We know there's a deadline. What are the grassroots groups doing in Georgia, and how can we help them in terms of dealing with voter registration and the purge of the voter rolls?
Okay, so the purging was a big phenomenon over the last 3 years, and it probably cost Stacey Abrams her gubernatorial race. The issue right now, though, is not purge. The issue right now is to get the vote back out. What's in front of us right now is to get the vote back out that voted in the general, and to register between now and December 7th as many people as we possibly can. Voter registration in Georgia can be done by just simply downloading a printed form, or it can actually be done online. There's something in Georgia called My Voter Page. It's a link associated with the Secretary of State's office. It's called, it's mvp.sos.ga.gov. You don't have to write that down, but basically you can do this mobily. So you can get people to register to vote mobily through that site. That site is also, My Voter Page is also a site that allows you to check not only the status of your registration, but also the status of your ballot request and the status of whether or not your ballot has been, your actual ballot has been issued and received and accepted. In Georgia, you had the opportunity to curate, to cure your any issues with any absentee ballot. So over the course of again, as I've mentioned several times, we have until December 7th, so we're focusing on registration for any young people. Primarily, we're focused on young people and African-American men in particular who are turning 18 between now and January 5th who have not registered to vote. So we're going out, we're doing the caravans that the Reverend talked about. We're going through the various counties with, as an example, one of the reasons we need money, we need to rent music trucks to go through these neighborhoods and these caravans. It's almost like the old ice cream truck, only it's playing hip hop music and other popular music, and it's bringing out crowds. We're doing grilling on the weekends, hot dogs and hamburgers, and getting people out. And we'll be doing that next to the voting sites where there's early voting going on the weekends. So those are the kinds of things we will be doing that will need funding. So we're out now doing voter registration. We'll be doing that in earnest until the 7th, and then all attention will be on GOTV.
I've got a question. There's someone to introduce you to, Ray. His name is Steve Rosenfeld. He's one of the great reporters on election protection, and he's currently in Atlanta. And if he calls you, I'll take his call.
Absolutely.
Steve, do you want to ask? You wanted to ask a question?
Yeah, Ray. Thank you very much. This has been very, very useful. This level of detail. I've heard concerns that it may not be the best advice to encourage people to vote absentee because of the process you just described. The timetable is tight, and it's better to focus on getting people registered, that information updated, and voting early in person. I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on that.
I absolutely totally agree. So here's the way we approach it. And I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name again.
It's Stephen Rosenfeld.
Okay, Stephen, here's the way we approach it. What we're telling people is you need to plan your vote, and that was our strategy in the general. Sure. So we give you the facts, and then you say, okay, what works for you? That's, we're going to give you the facts, and we're going to give you the risks and associated. And we have PowerPoint presentations we do and fact sheets. And so what we'll say is, look, what works for you? If you want to do absentee ballot by mail, great. But you got to recognize if you don't get it by a date certain, you cannot wait and put it in the mail. You'll have to use a Dropbox. If you don't get it by that, and then if you still feel uncomfortable, you can still take that absentee ballot once you've decided that that's the way you want to go, and then you change your mind. You can still take that with you and early vote, and they'll just simply cancel that out, that absentee ballot out, and sure. You're allowed to vote in person. Okay, so we're just trying to give people options now up front. But the further we get into December, your options are going to narrow down. As an example, the last week we said, okay, time out, guys. Nobody now needs to be looking to vote absentee. You've got to go to the polls and vote early. And I think we were very successful like that with that. So we give people the options. You decide what the level of risk is you are comfortable with. Here's the way to make sure that you can vote safely and securely, and make sure that your vote indeed is going to count. And here are the ways that you can track your ballot through the ballot tracks or My Voter page, and keep up with.
This is one of those cases where you work and work and work, and you give it the college try, and then by God, you win. It's astounding. Okay, thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you again next week. Bring all your friends. Anybody that wants to have an impact in Georgia, you will find out how to do it. You know we're gonna have a